This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They produced some of the finest talent in Atlanta sports radio history.
Get over it!
Covered the best teams this city has to offer.
Going to bed and taking a nap.
And now, it's time to take their turn at the mic.
Wah, 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 wah.
It's time for The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Chris.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? I know some of y'all are out there and probably like, man, it's cold. Bring it. I love it. I love the chilly temps here in the A, because before you know it, Dom Turovsky, the sweat's going to be dripping off our knees, our elbows, our foreheads, our noses.
Yep.
So embrace it. Enjoy it. I'm telling you, it'll be here before you know it. But don't worry. We got the hot takes tonight to keep you nice and warm here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dom, I'm glad you're with me, and here's why. Me and you hung out for about an hour on Saturday here doing a little show, and I said, you know what? I was going to talk about Kirk Cousins because we were coming off of Dukes and Bell on Friday, and Carl was hot and bothered, and I was hot and bothered, and I was like, you know what? We'll carry this momentum into Saturday. Then I was like, you know what? We got 4 hours on Monday. Let's talk some Braves on Saturday. And I'm glad we did, because we got some good phone calls. We talked about the state of the roster. It was overall, it was a good conversation.
Yes.
We'll carry that over to tonight as well. Got our buddy Danny Vietti of CBS Sports and the Believe Network joining in the 9 o'clock hour. And then I heard Abe. Dom. Love you, Abe. Hope you're in your car listening, bud. I heard Abe. And I listened to a good amount of the show today. Because I had to drive from about 20 minutes away outside of Midtown to my apartment. Had to run some errands. I have a car right now, which I'm taking advantage of greatly. Because most of you know I am not vehicularly enhanced most of the time, is the way I'll put it. So I have a car right now doing some dog sitting, as you guys know that I am one to do. And that also comes with house sitting in this particular instance.
So really quick question with you, cause you're from New York and everything. When did you like get your license? And like, when did you actually learn to drive? Cause I know a lot of my friends from New York talk about how like, no, like I didn't really like get a license or anything till I moved down to Georgia.
No, I was 16 when I got my permit, 17 when I got my license.
Okay, because I know a ton of people, they were like, no, I just
Well, if you live in New York proper, that makes sense. I lived in North Jersey right outside of the city.
Okay.
I was about a 15-minute drive from New York City. So I got my license, like, regular time.
Okay, gotcha.
But if
you
live in New York City proper, you have to be either really dumb or really rich to have a car in New York City proper.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of them say. Okay.
Yeah. So I heard Abe. Right, Dom? And he's like sitting there, and I'm listening to him, and he's racking his brain trying to figure out why the biggest topic of the day continues to be Kirk Cousins. He's like, I don't understand. I keep getting phone calls. I keep getting tweets. I'm like, Hey, Abe. Hello. Maybe because it's the biggest topic in Atlanta sports. Abe, what do you mean you don't understand it? He's like, well, it's just, it's not emotional. How could you still be emotional? Because he threw the franchise under the freaking bus and he made us a joke again. 404-726-0929. Again, the Falcons are the butt of the joke. Again, something goes wrong. Again, you don't make the playoffs 7 years in a row. Come on, Abe. Abe's one of the smarter, more connected hosts on this station. And I just found myself vehemently disagreeing with every word that came out of his mouth on Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins threw this franchise under the bus. Kirk Cousins embarrassed Falcons Nation. Kirk Cousins made Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot look incompetent. Raheem Morris, your first-year head coach, Terry Fontenot, your GM, who is now, by the way, officially on the hot seat. I'll put him, his butt's right on it, as far as I'm concerned. Embarrassed you. Made you look like a fool. Silly. Like you didn't know what was going on at the most important position in all of sports. And you don't care? You're over it, Abe? Sorry. No. I love you. You're my boy. We are sort of tied to the hip here at 92.9 The Game, and I love that. He's a great person to be a compadre of. Dude, no. I'm sorry. I disagree with you 10,000%. I'm emotional. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm a little heartbroken at the way that the season ended. How could you not be? Again, the Falcons fall off a cliff again. 4-game losing streak. 1 touchdown, 9 picks. And you're over it? He goes on national TV and embarrasses us from pillar to post. Clerical error is what he said in the middle of the season. And then on NFL Network, it's the shoulder and the elbow weren't where they needed to be. 404-726-0929. Let's go. Come on. I need you guys tonight. I got 4 hours, and we're talking. I'm taking as many phone calls as I can get tonight.
You're fired up, I see, so I want to play devil's advocate. Just, and far be it from me to be the one to shoot Kirk Cousins' bail. I wish you all could have seen the glare Chris just gave me. But is there a little bit of a sentiment that Kirk Cousins, maybe the Falcons kind of had this coming with how they did him at the beginning of the year?
Everybody keeps saying that, Dom Turovsky.
I mean,
Mark Zeno said it to me. Carl Duke said it to me. You know what? No. Again, this is what I said to everybody, and I'm going to say it again. My mama done taught me this when I was 4 years old. Two wrongs don't make a right. You be the professional. You be the one. Because you know what? I have a feeling if you went to the Falcons, maybe he did. I don't know if this happened and we never will. Maybe he went to the Falcons and he said, hey guys, we all saw what happened this year. Can we all move on? Maybe they said no. And if that's the case, Dom, then I agree with you. But we'll never know. We'll never know. We have no idea. So 404-726-0929. The Falcons did what they did at the beginning of the year. That does not give you an excuse to lie and sink the entire season because you were afraid of losing your job. Sorry. Doesn't work like that. So let's go. Come on. 404-726-0929. You want to tell me I'm crazy? Tell me. You want to tell me I'm being too damn emotional? Tell me. Abe, you want to call in? Let's talk. I love you, brother, but you're so dead wrong. You're so wrong on this. Yes, it matters. Yes, it's still relevant. Yes, Falcons Nation is still pissed off. Yes, 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 yes. All of it. Yes. 100 times yes. I don't want to hear it. You could take your pragmatism and shove it. I don't want to hear it. with the way that this season ended, with giving up 50 points to the Carolina Panthers, embarrassing yourself on the field, to then get equally, if not more, embarrassed off of it, you're telling me that it's fine because a couple of weeks have passed? It's fine. Everything's fine now. We have Michael Penix. He cost us a draft pick. A third rounder went to Matthew Judon, so that's gone. You make us lose a fifth rounder. So now we're down two picks in the draft. We have Michael Penix, so everything's fine. No, sorry, not fine. It's not fine. It's not going to be fine.
I just, shouldn't this ire be more aimed at Terry Fontenot?
For what?
For signing Kirk Cousins, for putting him in this position, for a litany of all of the other moves.
Hang on. That's not fair. Because Kirk also had 500 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also had NFC Offensive Player of the Week twice. He also had 6-3 and 4-0 in the division. So, no, I'm not putting it on Terry Fontenot. I'm putting it on Kirk Cousins. Because one of two things happened. He either lied or he didn't lie, and he made you look incompetent. Either one is unacceptable. There is no off-the-hook option here. He either lied or he didn't lie, and by not lying, he made you look incompetent, and he threw the franchise under the bus. There is no middle ground here. Sorry. There is no forgiveness. There is no oops. There is no second chance here. You don't come back from this. You go away, Kirk. You go away. You don't put on a Falcons uniform anymore. I don't want to see it. God forbid Penix goes down in week 8. Oh, it's so nice, Turtle, that you have a good back. I don't care. Go get me Tyrod Taylor. Go get him. He's with the Jets. Go get him. Pay you $10 million and go get him.
He might be the starter next year up there in New York.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Go get him. The Jets don't want to win next year. They want to get the number one pick in 2026. Go get him. You know, where's Matt Barkley? You know, go get me that guy. I don't need Kirk Cousins sitting on the bench. No, I don't want to look at his stupid face. I really don't. Because you know what? When he's not being Mr. Nice Guy, he does have one of those faces.
He's gonna look awesome leading the swag surf on the sideline while Penix is ripping it up in the fourth quarter. He's gonna look so great.
You know what? I don't care. I don't care. As long as he's not on the Falcons sideline, I don't care where he goes. Go start in Oakland. Go start for the Giants. Go start for the Browns. I don't care. We have Michael. If we didn't have Michael Penix Jr., it'd be a different situation. The money's done. The money's allocated for. Nobody is trading you a valuable pick or cap relief, for Kirk Cousins. They're not doing it. And if you think they are, you're delusional. The only way they would is if somebody starting quarterback goes down 2 days before the season starts. And that's all luck. That's not because there was some strategery by Terry Fontenot. 404-726-0929. RJ, lead us off. RJ, you're in the game. What do you think?
Yo, what's going on, people?
Yo.
Man, I am 38 hot. I'm 38 hot with the whole situation. And I'm glad you guys brought up Terry Fontenot. I'm going to try to hit all the areas, and I'm going to try to be brief. I'm hopping on your back, man. First and foremost, Kirk Cousins has to go. I don't care how you do it. He has to go. Obviously, the correct decision is to put some kind of trade together, but no one's going to go for it. I will take a conditional 7th-round pick for Kirk Cousins right now, just to get him off the roster. Now, there's some exotic things we can do. You can package him with Kyle Pitts and do some things like that. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but he cannot be on the roster in training camp. Like, he can't. I've never seen a hero turn villain so fast. It's ridiculous. And then Terry Fontenot, going back to the 8th overall pick with Michael Penix. I don't like Terry Fontenot's drafts. I think he's a solid GM. I don't like his drafts. Hindsight being 2020, I still can't back up the decision of him taking Michael Penix at 8 when he took a $180 million quarterback a few weeks before. Am I glad he did it? Yes. Because where would we be right now without Michael Penix? But I still can't back up that decision to draft Penix at 8 when we just paid Kirk Cousins all this money. All that money could have gone somewhere on the defensive line, could have gone to that defense. It could have gone somewhere else. So I can't give Terry a pass on that. I do think he's a solid GM. I think he's a more pro scout GM than scouting some of these guys out of college. But whatever the Falcons have to do, Kirk Cousins needs to go, and the train left yesterday.
Yeah, RJ, appreciate the phone call. Great way to start it out, 404-726-0929. Yo, Keith, Bill, Mike, JP, stay right there. Your calls are next. Oh, and I heard from Abe Gordon. Stay tuned. Chris Thomas with you till 10. He's got to go, guys. It's enough. I mean, you can't do what he did, embarrass your organization, and have him come back next season under any circumstances. You're not going to find a trade partner for him. Don't even go down that road. The only way that's going to happen is if some team loses their starting quarterback 2 days before the regular season starts. You can't plan on that. It's not happening. No team's going to voluntarily take on money or give up assets on Kirk Cousins' deal when you can just wait for the Falcons to cut him. And that's exactly what they're going to do. Terry Fontenot said before the comments were made that they're fine with Kirk as the backup. Now they're not. Do I know that? No. Am I making an educated guess? Yes. How could you be fine with what he did? 404-726-0929. Yes, it's emotional. Yes, it's about somebody proverbially taking a you-know-what on your entire franchise the week of the Super Bowl. No, I don't. And you're no longer welcome here, sir. I don't care if you won. This isn't about winning and losing. This is about the culture and future of your freaking franchise. It's enough. 7 years of losing, of just being the laughingstock of the NFL since the Super Bowl. Come on. Don't bring I want anything to do with that past. Get it out. Get it out of here. Yes, it's emotional. And in the first segment, I had to call out my good buddy, Abe Gordon, because I heard him try to be pragmatic about this and try to say that because some time has passed, that everything's fine, and that if he's the backup quarterback, it's good for Michael Penix because he's going to continue to help him grow, and that it's going to be fine for the franchise, and that the players in the locker room aren't really going to care because they'd do the same thing. Really? Really? Abe? Hello, sir. Normally,
what's going on, brother?
Hey, man. So hey, so normally,
joining the first segment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Normally, I agree with a lot of your takes, and even if I don't agree, I respect your process. But on this one, not only do I not agree, but I can't say I respect the process either. Just because some time has passed, not that much, by the way, a couple of weeks, everything is not all hunky-dory, Abe. This guy can't just come back here, and we can't just pretend like nothing happened. That's not how this works.
Well, again, a couple of things, and I've felt I was misconstrued a little bit. To me, it's about the decision that's being made is no longer emotional. I'm not saying you shouldn't be emotional about it, but if they were going to make the emotional decision to cut him, it would have happened. At this point, I think they are going to take, as you used the word pragmatic, approach, level-headed, and figure out what's best for the team. And ultimately, I don't necessarily disagree with you. If what they feel is best for the team is to straight up cut them, that's what they're going to do. But I don't think it's an emotional decision anymore. I think they're going to look at it from a business aspect and figure it out.
No, and here's where wording be damned. It is emotional all around. It's emotional for the fans. It's emotional for the team. It's emotional for the organization as a whole. And here's why. You got embarrassed, Abe. He embarrassed you. whether it was done through his agent, whether it was done through the media, whether it was done through NFL Network, whether it was all one big ploy in order to buffer his image and put some distance between the Falcons and what happened to him physically. I don't care about why it happened or what means it was used to happen through. The matter of the fact is he went on the air the week of the Super Bowl where the NFL audience is its largest and lied. The proof is in the pudding. You can't then turn around and welcome that guy back into your organization under any circumstances. I don't care if it's good for Michael Penix. I don't care if it's good to have a backup quarterback at the caliber of a Kirk Cousins. All that needs to be damned. And I don't care if you try to trade him and fail. You got to let him go. And I don't think it becomes a game of if you let him go last week, it would have been emotional versus if you let him go the day that the new league year opens or the day before so you don't have to pay the $10 million. I think it's emotional regardless because of what he did.
Well, here's the real, and I almost hesitate to use this word because this is going to set you off too. Here's the real genius of Kirk Cousins, right? Because Kirk Cousins has a history, at least since he came to Atlanta, of talking too much, right? And so I think we parlay this into, oh, this is just Kirk telling the truth in front of another microphone. For me, I'm looking at a different factor of why he said what he said and how it came to be. And you may not care about that, and that's perfectly fine. You're entitled to feel that way. But I think I'm entitled to look a little bit deeper if I choose to as to why what was said, whose directive it was under, and what the overall goal of those comments were. And when I look at it, it was designed to produce exactly what is happening, an emotional response of get this guy out of here in the hopes that he could then find a starting role somewhere. And so for me, I think the franchise understands that, looks at it and says, that's what he wanted. We may give it to him. We may not. But we're going to spend a little bit more time breaking down what exactly is best for our franchise.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to give him the grace of even making him think like he pulled one over on me because I don't care. The fact is he said it. I don't care. Again, I don't care why he did it. I don't care what his intentions were. And I don't care if I understand them or not. The bottom line is he did it. And when you do that, you excommunicate yourself from your current organization. Like, whether this was a good ploy by him or not, it doesn't matter to me. The fact is that it happened. Anything else to me, before, during, or after, becomes moot. He needs to go, and he needs to go yesterday. And it's not. And here's my thing, Abe. Here's the difference. It's not like before this, you were going to be able to get a haul from him, and now you're not. You were never getting anything for Kirk Cousins.
No, I agree with you with the trade thing. It's a crazy mindset that you're going to get anything for him. I 100% agree.
Yeah, so because of that, you didn't need to do this. Why? For what? It didn't help you. All it did was make the Falcons look awful. And why are you doing that? Why are you purposefully throwing your current organization under the bus?
Because maybe this will explain it a little bit more. You say it doesn't help him. But Terry Fontenot comes out and says, we're comfortable keeping him as the backup. All right, well, I'm going to make you uncomfortable keeping me as the backup. Like, those two things don't make sense. You can't suggest that it doesn't help him. And the whole reason you're now uncomfortable with him as a backup is because of this. Because you would have been comfortable if you didn't say anything, right? Whatever happens, it's poor play. We don't know, but you would have been comfortable. So now he's made you, the fan base, the franchise, uncomfortable. And the question that you posed on Twitter was, can you stomach him as the backup? And for various reasons, the answer for that for me, it's perfectly fine if other people disagree, but the answer for that for me is yes, I could, because I look at what he was attempting to do, and I kind of write it off. You can't write it off. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But I can. And I think it could be, and by the way, I agree with you. I do think ultimately he will get cut, but I also don't think it's an emotional decision. I think they're going to look at what's best for the franchise.
And I think in order to do what's best for the franchise, you have to take into account how the fans feel. I'm not saying make decisions based on the fans, but I'm saying when the vitriol after something this specific happens, I'm not talking about bringing in an unpopular player. I'm not talking about going and signing Cam Jordan from the Saints, an unpopular player. That's a different circumstance. in terms of letting fan bases make decisions for an organization.
I would like Cam Jordan here.
Well, I'm just saying as an example, bringing in a longtime rival player, you know, could be something that could irk the fan base, but you're not going to not do it because of that. This, on the other hand, is something different. He spit in the face of you and me and everybody else that's a Falcons fan. He did a big hock tour to all of us. Because he said, I don't give a flip about your organization. I'm going to make them look weak. I'm going to make them look disorganized. And I'm going to make them look dysfunctional by saying that I had an injury with 8 weeks left in the season and they completely fell apart around me. But absolve me of blame because I went out there like the good soldier with my right shoulder and elbow hanging off. I can't buy that and vibe with that, Abe. I can't.
Again, I don't think it's, and I mentioned this on Saturday, I don't think it's something he wanted to do. I think it was something he had to do on the advice of counsel or told by his agent, however you want to phrase it. If you can't get past that, I get it. I understand that. But when I look at it, like, we want to complain and cry about the way Kirk Cousins treated this team, the fan base, his teammates, the coaches and all that stuff. I just don't think he's alone in that. I think there's a lot of guys that have hidden injuries and played poorly because of it. I think it was up to the coach to make a decision that he didn't make, and I'm equally as frustrated at that as I am Kirk Cousins trying to force his way out of here, something that doesn't happen in a different situation. I mean, if Terry Fontenot doesn't say we're comfortable with him as backup, and maybe he only says that because they're trying to get a trade, last ditch, I get that too. But I don't think Kirk Cousins says what he says if Terry doesn't essentially say, we might keep him.
Well, the only reason they say that is to try to say to other teams, you know, if you offer us pennies on the dollar, we can just shrug our shoulders. That's the only reason they say that, Abe. It's because if the Raiders come calling and say, we're going to offer you a seventh round pick, you could say, nah, we said we were comfortable keeping him as the backup. So you're trying to – all you're trying to do is just get as much – it's all leverage. It's leverage.
But also you're dealing with the no-trade clause, which I for some reason people think that gives Kirk all his power. I think
– No, because he wants to start. He wants to start. So that renders the no-trade clause to me almost useless. Because as long
if he's comfortable just starting and throwing away who he starts for, then sure. But I'm not sure that's the case either.
You think he'd rather be the backup for the Falcons than start anywhere else? I think he'd rather start in Cleveland.
I think that's the discussion you have to have. I think that's the bargaining chip that the Falcons have. Everyone thinks the no trade clause is a bargaining chip. I think the Falcons' threat of keeping him is equally as big a one.
No, I don't. Listen, I think at the end of the day, he's going to go somewhere else and be a starter. I don't think that.
I think that's most likely. I agree.
I don't foresee a situation where you can get rid of him with him agreeing to go be a backup anywhere. I think he wants to start. And I think that means he'll go to a lesser franchise if he's allowed to start. Because you know what, Abe? I think he thinks he has more than 1 year left. So if you go to one team this offseason, if you go to the Raiders and you can drag them to 8 wins, then you can showcase yourself and say, hey, you know, Team X, that's a contender, that's a quarterback away, come get me.
I don't disagree with anything you just said, and I know we're short on time here, but all I want to say is, I mean, you can disagree, you could be emotional, I have no problem with that, but when I looked a little bit deeper into why it was said, what was said, how it was said, who it relates to, there's an end goal here, and to me, I can look past that. A guy was trying to accomplish something, and thus far, he has not accomplished it. I say bravo for not cutting him immediately. I know a lot of fans want him gone and gone at all costs and gone immediately. I understand that, but you got to play that game. And I think, to his credit, Terry Fontenot has up until this point.
All right, Abe. That's Abe Gordon. He just did 4 hours. He said, I got more for you, Turtle. I'll bring it strong. And he did, as always. Abe, appreciate you, bro. Go enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Cheers, brother. Thanks for giving me some time.
All right. That is the very talented Abe Gordon there on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I still think he's wrong, but, you know, that's okay. We can agree to disagree on this one. He's got to go, man. He's got to go ASAP. I agree. The one thing I do agree with him is you don't need to make a move just for making move's sake, but as soon as it makes sense to let him go, let him go. You're not getting a third-round pick for Kirk Cousins. It's not happening. So you got to just let him go. Dude absolutely cheesed you. He threw you under the bus and ran you over. All right, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there, please. I will get to you at the top of the hour. Or if you want to call back, please call back at 404-726-0929 because I am taking your phone calls all night long. But coming up next, what does Myles Garrett think about all this? Is he going to try to toss me off the ledge? We'll see. Chris Thomas with you till 10. Dom is loving this. I'm watching his face on the other side of the glasses. Me and Abe are yelling at each other, and I'm yelling with callers, and I'm yelling, and everybody's yelling because of damn Kirk Cousins. Back to your calls at the top of the hour, 404-726-0929. I see we got full lines. If you're on hold, stay there. But first, we got to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's see what Mr. Myles Garrett has to think about this. Myles, we want to get some Braves talk in with you, but first, I gotta loop you in on this situation here. I'm sure you've been reading it yourself on the socials. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram, Myles Garrett. This Kirk Cousins thing, man, it has tentacles upon tentacles upon tentacles, and his future or presumed lack thereof in Atlanta continues just to be such a hot-button issue. So from your best knowledge of information gathering and reading of the tea leaves, what do you predict over the next month and change as we approach the start of the league year the Falcons are going to do with Mr. Kirk?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Chris. Good evening to you, first of all. But it's interesting because you got to go back to what was told to us, the media, right? Back when this whole losing streak started against the Saints, it was asked whether or not this was injury-related, right? Because the performance obviously dropped off after Kirk Cousins had his Kirktober run. The Falcons were 6-3. Then you go on that four-game losing streak where Kirk Cousins doesn't throw a touchdown, 9 interceptions, finally gets one touchdown against the Raiders. So obviously something was off. They said it was a football-related decision, not injury-related. But as you said, then Kirk Cousins comes on and says he got hurt in that Saints game and basically he wasn't right for the rest of the season. So all those things considered, it's kind of tough to figure out what actually was the truth, right? Because that we were told one thing by Kirk Cousins and we were told another thing by, or basically the same thing rather, by the Falcons. I mean, you might remember Kirk Cousins was in fact on the injured report after that Saints game, and Kirk Cousins credited that to a clerical error. So we don't know whether or not Kirk Cousins was actually hurt. Now, going back to your original question, what is going to happen as a result? Look, I mean, I think when Kirk Cousins was originally slated to be the backup for this team when Michael Penix Jr. took over, and that's what Terry Fontenot had said, I do think there was certainly some apprehension about whether or not you would have a guy making that kind of money be a backup on your team and not play. So obviously, Kirk Cousins wants to continue playing and obviously continue starting in this league. And perhaps this could be a good move for him to potentially get out of the Falcons organization, because I can't imagine the Falcons would want this kind of publicity right now or have to answer for these kinds of questions at this point where this was apparently sorted out months ago.
Yeah, the interesting part to me before we move on from this topic, Myles, is I'll obviously let you speak for yourself here, but I know all the interactions we had with him on Dukes and Bell and on 92.9 The Game, like, he was as courteous and professional and calm and it seemed like mild-mannered. And then for the switch to be flipped and, you know, not that he did so in an aggressive way, but to do what he did the week of the Super Bowl and admit the injury, it just seemed to fly in the face of all of that.
Yeah, no, it certainly did, because, I mean, it's a reason why, you know, it led our sportscasts, and it led probably a lot of other sportscasts across the city, because this was news. You know, we had asked this on many occasions, because, I mean, this losing streak lasted for a while, but as a result, you know, the result we kept getting from the Falcons was no, it is not injury-related, and the result we kept getting from Kirk Cousins was no, it is not injury-related. So to, I guess, finally hear that kind of was a little confusing, and the fact that we had been told one thing and then here's another thing that apparently had been happening.
All right, so draft is coming up. It'll be here before we know it. Is there anything that the Falcons should do other than take the best defensive line player on the draft board available at 15?
Yeah, I know that's the popular topic of discussion when it comes to who the Falcons should take, but I do think, you know, there is an argument for, you know, I mean, I know Terry Fontenot has had that best player available mantra. Now, as far as 15, who is the best player available, I think this is a weaker draft class than kind of ones we've seen from that regard as far as that, you know, spicier player per se. You know, I could see a guy like Malachi Starks being a decent fit for the Falcons. You know, you need another safety. I imagine Justin Simmons could be a question mark to come back to this team. You obviously know you have in Jesse Bates. But, yeah, I mean, of course, edge rushers. It's easy to really point to the Georgia Bulldogs, right? Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker, these guys that obviously stand out that would theoretically fill a need for the Falcons. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very obvious need. I can imagine that Terry will probably keep his options open as far as trading back is concerned because they are limited with their picks this year with the Kirk Cousins situation from last season. So I could see that possibly being a situation as well.
Talking with our good buddy Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out on socials as well as on the TV. Fox 5 doing the sports reports covering all things Atlanta sports and beyond. All right, when it comes to some of the other positions that the Falcons need, secondary obviously comes to mind, Miles, because in my opinion, they need another starting corner, safety, and nickelback. How many of those do you think they could pluck out of the draft versus have to go get with what will ultimately, unfortunately, be a limited cap space for spending?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I mentioned Malachi Starks in, you know, talking about who could be available at pick 15, right? I mean, you look at guys like Travis Hunter and Will Johnson, some guys that'll probably be gone at that point. So you're going to have to really take a deep dive into some of who these guys, or rather some of what the deeper portions of the draft can be. Because look, let's go back to the defensive line prospects, right? I think this is a very deep defensive line class. I believe it was, I forgot who it was, some draft analyst who had said that last year compared to this year, I think he had a starting grade on like 9 potential prospects. This year, I believe it was somewhere like 20. So there is a depth area for that when it comes to those defensive linemen as compared to the defensive backs. So, I mean, we've all seen what Malachi Starks can do. Maybe it's a little bit of bias seeing how I've covered him quite a bit, but he is very good. Will Johnson, certainly a guy that out of Michigan that would be pretty good as well. Barron out of Texas. I don't know if he'd be worth the number 15 pick, but there are some guys out there. So, the argument that you said is very valid and that they do need another cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell because I don't think you can roll with what you had last year because I think you saw the results that happened.
All right, when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, I know there's a lot of optimism as usual, as there should be, but I think maybe, Miles, going into this spring training, a couple of more holes than we're used to. I think you can make an argument shortstop is an area that could have been upgraded. Certainly needed another arm in the bullpen. I could argue you needed two with the loss of Joe Jimenez and A.J. Minter. And then they are really rolling the dice. I know they did it last year, and it was a home run with Lopez and Sale, but having Anderson and Holmes compete for spots at the back end of the starting rotation, what's your assessment of the club as a whole as we head into spring training?
Yeah, you really touched on a lot of them right there. But, yeah, we've spoken to just about everybody in the clubhouse, and that goes from Alex Anthopoulos all the way up to what they did this offseason. And that was a question that we asked Alex, you know, because you see all these other teams, namely the Dodgers, that are spending money left and right, bringing in all this talent, and yet you see the Braves here, all they really added was Jurickson Profar. So that did certainly fill a need, but like you said, there were arguments for other needs, like another starting pitcher, or maybe even two, like you said, another reliever as well, an upgraded shortstop. But the answer to all those questions really basically sat with the fact that there's a lot of faith in who is currently in-house. And there is a point to that, of course, because, I mean, you just look back to the beginning of last season. Obviously, you lose Max Fried, but without him, I mean, this is still mostly the same team that is coming back, which preseason was basically the hottest World Series pick next to the Dodgers because of who you had on staff. Now, the injuries certainly played a factor in that, but, I mean, you get all these guys back. Then some of these guys were just hurt for the whole season. Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, hurt on day one, Ronald Acuna, Spencer Strider. Right now, these guys are going to be healthy. I mean, obviously, Acuna and Strider won't start on the opening day roster, but their progress looks very, very good. Acuna said he's at about 90 to 95%. Now, the pitching staff, I do think, will be the big question. They are putting a lot of faith in guys, like you said, Ian Anderson, Grant Holmes, to kind of get back to, specifically Ian Anderson, getting back to that form of 2020, 2021. And then a lot of young guys, too. I mean, Hurston Waldrop was their first-round pick. They've almost unanimously all talked about him as being a guy to watch. Of course, A.J. Smith-Schauber, this is a year that he really needs to kind of put it all together. He's had some chances. So it's really going to depend on all those guys, Chris, as far as if they can put it together and if they can all stay healthy, because right now they have a lot of faith that they have the pieces in place right now on the roster.
In the division, you know, it's funny. The Mets added Juan Soto, but I think you can make a sound argument, Miles, that the Mets are still the third best team in the NL East behind the Braves and the Phillies.
Yeah, I think you can. And I know that the Phillies won the division last year and the Phillies were very good, but I still think you can make the argument that this is still the Braves division. You know, it is. They have the record to show up. They still have the guys in place. And I think the Braves at this point have deserved the benefit of the doubt to kind of show that, yes, we can get back to the playoffs. It's just a matter of getting over the hump and winning the World Series again, because you can argue that they've had better teams since that 2021 team that won. I mean, in 2023, obviously, we know what they did. In 22, they came in very hot. This past year, I think you can chalk up to a mulligan because of the injuries. But I would still consider the Braves right there at the class of the National League East, and maybe even the National League right up there with the Dodgers, if they can stay healthy, Chris. I think that's the main storyline with this Braves team. It's just something they couldn't do last year, and if they do stay healthy, I don't see why they can't be there again.
All right. Before I let you go, two-parter here. What did you make of the revamped NBA All-Star Weekend? And then did you hone in on any of this Four Nations Classic that seems to be sweeping the country by storm? And, I mean, you could argue Four Nations because it seems to be really, really popular with the U.S. taking down Canada. You catch any of that?
I saw a little bit of both, and I will say that the NBA All-Star Weekend was another disappointment for me, I'll say. It has been a disappointment for quite some time. I mean, really at this point, Chris, I think the only all-star event that I've actually enjoyed watching has been baseball and maybe hockey, just because, I mean, NFL, NBA, I mean, you look at some of these other ones that they're almost, you know, going through the motions in it at this point. And obviously, I know they're trying to do these different mulligans with the NBA to make it more interesting, but I mean, it's tough to watch a little bit, I think. But the hockey situation with the nations, I mean, USA, Canada, it's hard not to feel patriotic watching that game. That was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, and then you had three fights in the course of 9 seconds. I mean, listen, I'm going to raise my hand. I had no idea that they were even doing this, but good on them for trying something different. And, you know, maybe the NBA can take a page out of that book. Who knows? All right, Miles, appreciate the time as always, jumping on a holiday night. Enjoy the rest of your evening and we'll talk soon.
You too, Chris. Take care.
All right. That is Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out on Fox 5 and on socials as well, covering all things Atlanta sports. We'll get into that with Dom a little bit later. I got some thoughts on both of those things from this weekend. One positive, one negative. And it might not be the one that you would think that it would be. When we come back, it's all you. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, you're up first. 404-726-0929. Kirk Cousins. Guys, he's got to go. I'm sorry. I know Abe and I just had a lengthy discussion about his pragmatism and you know, even though he agrees with me at the end of the day that they're going to move on from Kirk, I think our mindset about it couldn't be more different. And yeah, I'm emotional, man. I don't care. Like that's a bad thing. The dude took a you-know-what on your franchise. Come on. Let's have some pride here. You don't welcome him back. If your girl cheats on you, you don't take her back. Kirk Cousins cheated on you. He lied to your face about what he was doing. He had a freaking hurt elbow and shoulder for 8 weeks. 8 weeks. And it cost you the season. Your calls are next. 404-726-0929.